Yeah, dude, right. I don't care. Just run it.
Yeah, I mean, it's running. So just welcome to episode one of the Flyest Podcast Ever, the Fly Meets Kingdom Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about The Defenders, Marvel Cinematic Universe's newest hot, spicy series that came out on Netflix recently this week. They have built up to this. Just a little background about it. They have built up to this. They released multiple seasons of the characters in their own series for themselves. Actually, only Daredevil got multiple seasons. Everyone else got one season.
They're going to have more, though.
Yeah, but they will have more, though. So they released series for the characters first, and then they combine them all and put them into the Defenders themselves. So had Daredevil, Jessica... The Defenders are comprised of Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist all coming together to battle the evil, the Hand.
Although, sometimes... we wish Iron Fist wasn't there at all.
Man just hates on the Defenders, but I don't dig it. I'm good on the... I'm defending the Defenders.
Oh, Man just hates the Defenders.
I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and whitewash Iron Fist and then make him a rich playboy like every other fucking superhero on the CW. And then, you know, let's make him unlikable too while we're at it. Like...
well, check it. That's what happened back in the 70s. He was white in the 70s when they came out with this guy. Or it may have been even earlier than that. It was around that time where they were writing characters, you know, with this...
white savior.
Yeah, and it was appropriation. It was appropriation of kung fu movies, of all that kung fu action genre. Marvel said, hey, this thing is blowing up. And they kind of did the same thing with Luke Cage, this whole blaxploitation thing.
I think the main difference is that Luke Cage was actually a black person facing black issues, and so he was able to actually transition to modern time, whereas you have a white guy being an Asian white savior. That shit ain't about to fly in modern
time. Oh, that's true. I'm just saying, though, that this whitewashing thing ain't new. It's been around for decades.
Yeah,
right.
Decades ago.
A lot of people don't realize what Luke Cage was in the beginning, but Luke Cage was like the comic book of blaxploitation. Like, he wasn't meant to be like this super progressive character. He was super fly, except with superpowers and in comic book form. That's what he was. And it just so happened that he was able to transition into modern times a lot smoothly and better. I mean, granted, he is still a giant fucking cornball. As far as the series itself is concerned, he was able to transition a lot smoother into modern times and something
which
like that.
Which is very important, because, you know, everybody was thinking, right before Luke Cage came out, they're like, ooh boy, this comic book from the 70s, like, coming into this era where we're talking about is race these days.
I guess my bigger complaint is not quite whitewashing, but more that Iron Fist was a bad series. Like, the kung fu, which is what Iron Fist is all about, was pretty bad.
Yeah, and I did read the list that you linked me. Shout out to i9.com. the summary of the Iron Fist series. And, yeah, Iron Fist, he gets his powers by killing a dragon. And I didn't watch Iron Fist personally, but I will trust that website when they say that there were no dragons in the series.
There
were no dragons. You did not see the dragon.
You're pumped full of medicine. You know, I feel like...
I mean, Cisco was nowhere in sight. They did not unleash the dragon.
Yeah, but that's actually one thing that kind of, like, that Defenders actually did well was that they actually made the kung fu good. You know, that at least I thought it was much better than Iron Fist, and thank God Jessica Jones was there, because she for me, made almost every scene okay when Danny Rand was in there.
Yeah, just for context, I'm blind in this situation. I've not seen the Defenders. I've only seen Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. And
not even
really...
Daredevil.
But yeah, I haven't even seen Daredevil. Daredevil's on the list. Daredevil's high priority on the list, but I haven't seen anything else.
Huh. It's a good series. Daredevil's a good series.
And it has two seasons too. So yeah, you know, Manders came prepared and gave us a couple little talking points. So before we get too off on our wild tangents and start ranting too hard, let's at least get our talking points. So first talking point is the ranking of each defender No, I mean, this question itself is a bit ambiguous. Are we talking like
I'm talking about or... we are. I want to rank them. Like, I want to have a power rank. Like, who's the best defender?
Okay, so are you talking about power rank? Oh, best. Okay,
who's
the best?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. We got four choices. We know Iron Fist is four. Now, now let's figure out the next three.
Yeah, so you figure out the next three. I mean,
are you talking about Netflix quality? Are you talking about entertainment? Are you talking about power level?
That's up to you. For me, here's my ranking list. Okay, I have Jessica Jones number one. She is my absolute fave, and then it's a toss up in a sense for Luke Cage versus Daredevil. Daredevil because he flip-flopped too much for me throughout the series, and I was like, man, are you really a defender or are you a bitch? So I and then Luke Cage, well, he's kind of, I don't know, he's like Thor in a way, not Thor, the Hulk in a way. He's just kind of like, he's there for the ride, he does all the cool destructive stuff, but he's got a great voice. So, you know, I think it's a hair for me, Luke Cage too. And then Daredevil 3, and then Iron Fist 4.
You're talking about strictly within these 8 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say that the past hasn't shaded me in ways. I mean, I'm still scarred by Iron Fist. I actually watched that.
Damn, sorry.
But you know that's the Defenders came together, and at the end, that's kind of my power ranking.
Yeah. All right. So let me jump off into these power rankings. So I agree with Manders that as Jessica Jones is number one. I don't think there's much argument behind that. She's just a dope ass character. I mean,
she's great.
You know, just for context, again, I haven't seen her finish yet, but I haven't seen her series, comparatively speaking, to Luke Jones and her Luke Cage. I mean, she carries the series. Like, she's, and they pick an actress who isn't necessarily like super famous, but you know, like, albeit her whatever her acting or her writing, but the shit just came together and she just thought awesome.
She plays that character so fucking well.
Yeah, solid number one.
Love it.
Yeah, number two, I do put Daredevil as an unequivocal number two. I think he does edge out Luke Cage pretty pretty absolutely in my opinion. It's just Daredevil has sort of thinking about him. I just always find Luke to be, he's a bit binary. Which I don't necessarily like people that are binary. He does have like some sort of, you know, guesswork when it comes to things, but it's mostly he's a very binary character, which is the same issue that Iron Fist has. And like you're saying, he's a lot of times along for the ride. His supporting cast, Rip Cottonmouth, but his supporting cast in Luke Cage the series on Netflix was amazing. He had Cottonmouth, he had Victoria, he had Misty. Oh,
hold on, can I add a 1B?
What's that?
Claire, the nurse, she's 1B.
Oh.
She is fantastic in every one of these damn series.
Yeah, Claire.
She comes back Claire's in the Defenders. Too. She's great. She's my 1B defender.
But she's not a defender.
She is to me.
Well, you know, that's not fair. You can't put her in the Defenders tier list. If you have a total character tier list, she could fall somewhere in there. But she can't be in the Defenders tier list because she's not a defender.
I'll give you that point.
Yeah, I do agree, though. She's a good character, too. But, yeah, it's just, like, the one-dimensionality of Luke Cage kind of... He's cool and all, but he's just kind of, like, a super suave black dude that's going to fuck your regardless of
Let's also of remember... About it. Yeah. Let's remember there has been a Defender battle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it was Jessica Jones versus Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And Jay Jones did take the win.
Yeah.
Shotgun blast to the head, leading to, wow, what a concussion.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's what happened. Hold on. Am I getting that wrong?
Oh, no.
Shit.
No. She did not hold the shotgun.
Okay.
So really, she can't take the L. She can't take the W for that one.
Okay. I am confusing things. They were battling, though, right?
Yeah, they punched each other.
Okay, cool. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about that anyway, right?
No.
Nah, that's not Defender's territory. Stick to the agenda, man.
Yeah.
This Maverick stuff ain't gonna work here.
We're not John McCain.
No, you are not. For me, okay. I'm sorry, Daniel Rand. I actually did not hate Iron Fist, but you're taking number four in the Defenders, buddy. I'm sorry. Well, your storyline kind of held everything together, but you're You gotta take the L on this one, friend.
It pains me. Can I step in for a minute? I forgot that the Defenders is basically a Danny Rand storyline continued. I forgot about that completely. Like, that's a great point that actually gives him more points. He's still number four on my list. I agree, but I'm glad that you pointed that out because that is actually kind of important.
Yeah, and it made sense the way the series came out. All four of them came out, then Daredevil Season 2. Did Daredevil Season 2 come out before? Iron Fist was the last to come out, that's right.
Yeah, Daredevil 2 came out. It might actually come out before Luke Cage.
Yeah, so in either case, Defenders came right after Iron Fist, which I actually kind of liked. So it made sense from a Marvel Extended Universe kind of storyline. They're like, well, let's just go on ahead, you know? Let's just continue the Daniel Rand storyline. But yeah. I think the mythology behind Iron Fist was good. There's a lot of world building that happened in Iron Fist that if you gave it time to develop and time to explore, you can tell it could be good. But in 8 episodes, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And in 8 episodes, Daniel Rand didn't change as a character at all. And really, he got no good... He got one good fight. He got one good fight in with the hip hop duo Daniel Rand Luke Cage combo. That was good. But for the rest of the series, he didn't get any screen time, you know? He didn't get any action time.
Are we talking Defenders right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you're the Immortal Iron Fist, defender of Kung Lun, sworn enemy of the hand, every scene you are in, your kung fu has got to be on point.
Yeah.
Like, your entire series is just... I hate to say 60%, but it should be 60% kung fu fights.
It really
and should. This series was just a whole lot of talking. So he's going to take number four. And I'm going to go backwards and say, actually, my number one was Daredevil.
Okay.
Look at what happened to him in this series. Spoiler alert. So many people have died for him. And when those people actually died, they actually show this character mourning and developing as a person. Like when Stick died, there's a flash moment in the police station where you can tell this character wants to mourn. But in 8 episodes, you can't devote 10 minutes to him losing his second father figure, you know? And you can't devote even more time to Foggy come in and say, hey man, I don't like what you do, but I believe in you doing it. And all these personal story development arcs that happened for Daredevil that should have just had way more time to explore. I thought he had a great run in the series. He's been my number one.
To kind of add to that, he is the de facto leader of the Defenders. Like he gets elected like Cloud does, you know? Like like, who's our leader? Oh, it's that guy.
Yeah, all right.
And then Barrett kind of runs around and is like, damn it, what about me?
Yeah.
Well, logistically speaking, not to defer too far, it probably is best that he is the leader because he has all the money and he doesn't have to work for it, unlike Daredevil, who actually has to work for his money. So yeah, you know, he's got like this huge pile of money from someone that doesn't have to work for it, doesn't have actual public image to upkeep. You know, he make a great leader. Let us do all the work, you just keep pumping them funds into us.
That makes a lot of sense. He should be a Batman-like character.
There is another reason why I think he's a good leader. I'm going to get to that after I blow through these power rankings. Jessica Jones... number two. She's a great actress. She had the only sketchy storyline for her that I feel like the writers could have improved on was, so really you're only on this team because of a phone call you got that pissed you off, and now because you're mad you're part of this team because you want to see it through. That was kind of weak for me, but the character's awesome, the acting is awesome. Just that little piece of writing knocked her down to number two for me.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Luke Cage. I feel like Luke Cage did not change at all during his whole series run in his solo show. And it's the same thing in Defenders. The only moral decision he had to make was in the last boss fight, where Daredevil goes into this building. He says, okay, this building is empty, and we're going to have to blow it up, you know, Cloud and Barrett style. And Luke Cage says, the only way I'm doing this is if no innocent people get hurt. And I'm like, you just made a 10-minute scene about a dilemma when a couple... The guy with ultrasound hearing says, there's nobody in the room. And now there's this fake dilemma trying to develop this character, and I wasn't digging it. So again, the weak writing knocks you down, Luke.
Yeah. You know? I wouldn't even say that's even the weak writing. I would just think that's how that character is, that character. I mean, even from his old comic books, he was Luke Cage, mercenary for hire, which he wasn't necessarily like a super deep character. He was just a strong guy that got the super soldier serum. Spoiler alert, in case y'all didn't know this about Luke Cage's canon. Luke Cage actually has the super soldier serum, the advanced form of it. Mm-hmm. Strong and powerful and invincible.
So, I dig it.
Yeah,
I think they go through that in Luke Cage, right? Like, he gets experimented on and shit.
Yeah,
he gets
a little bit, yeah.
I don't think they specifically state that it was the same thing, like an evolution of the Captain America Super Soldier Serum. Yeah, it's the evolution. They tested it on prisoners, of course, because they don't want to release
it. But here's what the Defenders is about. And this is why, partially, one of the reasons why I think Daredevil was always going to be the leader. The point of the Defenders is twofold. One, bad parenting. Oh my goodness, everybody in this series has such bad parenting. And this whole thing about how Alexandra is a mother figure to Elektra, and how Stick is a father figure to Elektra, and how Stick is a father figure to
Daredevil,
and Luke Cage has daddy issues. Daniel Rand has mommy and daddy issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is going on in this?
Does J. Jones even have parents?
You know, they never mentioned her. They never talk about her parents.
I think we can all relate to that a little bit.
Yeah.
So the Defenders is really just like that one Weezer song that became really big. Just all about parenting.
Buddy Holly?
We can all relate to that.
That's
and the other reason that Matt Murdock was always going to be the leader was, no matter what series he's in, whether it be two seasons of his own show or in the Defenders, it's always his city. Which between us three, we can relate to a lot. You know, we love this city. And he loves his city so much that he is just willing to forsake everything to defend it. Mm. Hence the name.
I guess. I think Luke Cage, though, has said more about defending his city than anyone else, though.
Well, I will say this. Luke Cage is definitely more so about Harlem specifically, yeah, as opposed to New York City, and his hood more than anything else, because that's just where he's all the bad stuff happening. And
yeah.
You probably couldn't care less about people on Fifth Avenue that are rich and walking to their...
That's true. Matt Murdock is always about Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Always on it.
Yeah.
And I can see that, having been, especially in light of recent events, having been through the hurricane and lost people, you know, have had good people come back, watching the rebuilding of the city, what's new about it, what hasn't changed about it, what's different about it.
Yeah, and I'm going to just add in that we are talking about New Orleans.
That's how
it'd be. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, we're all three from here. We spend a significant part of our lives here. I feel like I'm from here. And having moved away the past 2 to 3 years, you know, you think you get over the homesickness after the first 6 months. But then that didn't happen. And then a year out, and you see videos of your friends from Mardi Gras, and it didn't happen. And then 2 years out, and now it's 3 years out. And every time I go back, like the last time I came back to visit you guys, and we were sitting at Bayou Beer Garden, I just looked around and just soaked it in, and I'm like, I don't belong anywhere else, you know? Sitting here, in this hot, hot, humid. I'm sweating my balls off at 11 p.m.
Very, very warm.
And it's painful to be down there. It's not. If you describe it to other people, you know, it's not. It doesn't really sound that much fun, but I can't see myself living anywhere else. So when Matt Murdock was all about, I give everything for the city, I'm like, I feel you. I feel you, bro. Because I'm there too.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Let's keep it pumping. Let's go on to the next talking point. Since I haven't seen the series, I can't necessarily answer this question, but what was your favorite moment and least favorite moment in the Defender series?
Ooh. I have my knee-jerk reactions, but if anybody wants to go first.
I wrote that down and then I didn't actually think about it.
Well, you have not convinced yourself, because I have my favorite moment.
Yeah, well, go for it.
My favorite moment was when Daniel Rand walked up to the quote-unquote board of Midland Circle, and he starts punching, he starts kicking, and all of a sudden, from behind the room, boom, like the Kool-Aid Man, Luke Cage comes up, says, "Oh yeah," and the hip hop music starts, and I'm like, it's a dynamic duo. This is so good. It is such a great use of hip hop, because it's like, oh yeah, shit's about to go down, but it wasn't done in like a super cheesy way. It wasn't done in an offensive way, but it was fun and it was smart and it was a great way to like bind those two characters together. Because before then, they weren't really that much on the same wavelength. But you know, the first
to pause, John.
Yeah.
Because we are. The fire alarm just went off, etc.